Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 159 on March the 26th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Kopin Corporation, Vuzix Corporation, and Bank of America, and we discuss three new trades on the CBOE Volatility S&P 500 Index, the MSCI Brazil ETF, and Wells Fargo Bank. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. And I've also created a few videos to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on the show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. And this week's show is being recorded using prices as of Thursday's close. I'm a leader for a nonprofit that puts on a weekend retreat here in Texas focused on families and relationships. So I'm going to be here for the weekend, but I wanted to make sure I recorded a show before the weekend because I know so many of you listen to me with like your Saturday morning routine. And I really appreciate that. You guys are awesome. So for the 4 days of trading so far this week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 8 points, closing on Thursday at 32,619 points. The S&P 500 index is down 3 points, with a closing actually on Thursday at 3,909 points. And now it's time for the topic of the week. And this week, the topic is trading more often to improve your trading results. Now, I'm sure you've heard it your whole life. Practice makes perfect. And for many traders, they think that means paper trading. Now, don't get me wrong. Paper trading is a great way to start testing your trading methods. But paper trading fails tremendously when it comes to replicating the feeling of taking a loss. And I've seen guys tremble, literally their hands shake, as they push the button to send a trade. And that's what it's like to place a new trade after taking a huge loss. Now, there's a phrase in gambling and in trading and anything else that says, scared money don't make money. And that's all about the emotional side of trading. And you just don't get a taste of that in paper trading. The thing that I found works very well, is placing small trades with limited risk. And that can mean trading a one lot of a spread. That can also mean buying or selling one option alone. Having actual money on the line will help you train your emotions to allow your logic to lead. And the goal is to make several trades consistently using a small amount of capital. You will get to the point where you're comfortable and confident with your trades, even if it's just using a small amount of money. And that's when you can start increasing the size of your trades that you take on and the amount of overall risk you're willing to have on at any given point. What traders will often do, professional traders, if they have a string of losing trades, is they'll go ahead and just reduce the size. They don't necessarily stop trading, not for a long time if they're working for a place that pays them the trade. But they'll reduce the amount of risk they have on until they feel like they're back making good analysis and good trade decisions that are going to lead to a profit. Now, I could refer to that often used and often misused quote about it taking 10,000 hours for mastery. But I think you get the point. The best way to improve your trading is simply to trade. And, you know, the additional piece there, it's not only just trading, but analyze your trades, analyze the decisions that you're using to place trades, and teach yourself to actually trade the plan. There's nothing worse than having a trading strategy that would have worked if your emotions hadn't gotten in the way. And trust me, I am guilty 100%. Occasionally something still crops in. And so I have to take a step back and just say, okay, like right now, there are a couple of cryptocurrencies I'm not touching at all because it's become emotional for me. I'll get back in once it's a logical trade for me. And that's even with watching other people make money and I'm not in the market. I would rather wait until my head's on straight and I can make a logical trading decision than to simply allow emotion to rule me. And so what I have done actually a little bit is just trade smaller and trade other cryptocurrencies that don't consume as much of my capital as some of the larger ones. So I take my own medicine. Hopefully that helps some of you. I'm sure some of you will get it. Others might not, but that's okay. But the main thing is just get started. All right. Hey, that's it for the topic of the week. Let's go ahead and look at the trade review from last week. And thus far, with 4 days, it's not looking overly pretty. But that's okay because, you know, that's the way I trade. I like to limit risk. And when I have a gain, it's great. Just chip away at it. If I have a loss, it's okay because I sized my trades appropriately to be able to take that loss and keep on placing trades. So we're going to start off with the covered call. We looked at Kopin Corporation, symbol K as in Kilo, O as in Oscar, P as in Papa, N as in November. At the time, the stock was trading for $11.14 per share. And I looked at buying stock and selling that April 12 and a half call at $1.45, which can give us a maximum return of 25.22%. Now, as of Thursday, Kopin stock was down $2.10 per share, actually ending the week at $9.04. The out-of-the-money call, the call option we sold can be bought for can be bought back for 35 cents, locking in a $1.10 profit on the option and leaving us with a net loss of $1 for the week on this trade. Now, I would strongly consider selling the April 10 call at 75 cents. So I'm rolling the strikes down, meaning you would buy back that 12 and a half call and then go ahead and sell the April 10 call at 75 cents, allowing you to pare your loss down to 25 cents on the week. This will lower your overall upside on the trade to a maximum possible profit of 71 cents, but that's still better than closing the trade for a loss. Now, there's still 3 weeks left of this trade, 3 weeks left for it to become profitable. So I would simply follow the trade closely. And if it really does get out of hand and selling lower strike calls don't at least get you close to limiting your risk, then it would be a trade that I would close out for good. So I only have 3 weeks left in this trade. So if it's going down, you're definitely not going to want to roll it into the next month. All right. Next up, we're looking at a credit spread on Vuzix Corporation, symbol V as in Victor, U as in uniform, Z as in Zulu, I as in India. At the time, the stock was trading for $28.81 per share. I looked at selling the April 28-27 put spread at 40 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 60 cents per spread. Well, Vuzix stock fell $2.49 this week as of Thursday evening, and it ended up closing the week at $26.32 per share. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is now in the money, and we've lost 50 cents on the trade if you were to close the trade. Now, the truth of it is that our maximum possible loss on this trade, again, is only 60 cents. And given that there's 3 weeks left in the trade, and at most, we would only lose another 10 cents, I would not be looking to close the trade. I'm not convinced that this stock won't repeat its previous, momentary pullbacks and then go on to rally again. And the beauty of making trades for defined profit and loss is that we can have more rational, ideally unemotional decision-making about how we will manage the risk of this trade. So this one still seems like a high probability successful trade over the next few weeks, mostly because I expect stock to pull higher. And I would typically look to sell a call spread against this to cover some of the loss as well. But the pricing for the out-of-the-money call spreads just isn't very appealing. It's not appealing enough to make it worth selling. Plus, I'm still leaning towards, like I said, the stock heading higher. So for now, I would simply hold tight and see how the stock plays, how it plays out over the next few weeks. That's how I would manage the position myself. And then our final trade from last week for review is a debit spread. We looked at Bank of America, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie, with the stock trading at the time of $38.53 per share. I looked at buying the April 37-38 call spread for 66 cents, which can give us a maximum gain of 34 cents or a 51.5% return. Well, Bank of America stock fell 87 cents, closing the week at $37.66 per share. That kind of hurts. But it happens to also be exactly the break-even point of the trade. The in-the-money call spread that we bought is officially at the money. And if you were to close the trade, you would actually lock in a loss of 17 cents. But this is where you have to use your option trading knowledge to consider the position and what it means synthetically. So we bought the 37 call and sold the 38 call for a spread price of 66 cents. In reality, we're just paying 66 cents for the April 37 call, and that call can still finish in the money over the next few weeks. I would be very cautious of taking any actions that simply add to the risk or put you in a situation where your first trade makes money, but your second trade takes a loss, and that loss erases the profits of the first trade. One such trade would be selling a call spread against this call spread that you purchased. You could end up in a scenario where the call spread that you own finishes in the money and you get to lock in the profit, but then the call spread that you sold ends up losing even more money than you made on the call spread that you were correct on. So that's never a good situation. So in this situation, I would once again just wait and come back in a week or so and decide, you know, what's next. When there's less time on the stock to finish higher, if it's not going to finish higher, then it's probably not a stock that you or not a trade that you're going to want to hold on to. But if you exit this trade early, right at the break-even point, and the stock rallies, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be upset with yourself, and rightfully so, because that would just be another sign of emotion getting to you rather than logic. All right, so that's it for the trades from last week, and let's go ahead and dive into this week's trades. Two of our three trades are actually for the April 16th expiration, but our first one, the covered call, I'm actually going to use one of the weekly options, and the expiration for this one is April the 14th. So this is not a third Friday. This is going to expire on April the 14th, which I believe is a Wednesday. So, all right, the cover call, we're looking at the CBOE Volatility S&P 500 Index, symbol VIX, V-I-X, V as in Victor, I as in India, X as in X-ray. The stock ended the week at $19.81 per share. I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the April 14. This is the April 14th expiration. The 20 is the strike. So the April 14th, the 20 call, I'm selling it at $2.75, which could give us a maximum return of 14.8% in 3 weeks. Now you enter this trade by buying the VIX for $19.81 per share and selling the April 20 call at $2.75. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $20 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $17.06. Now, in real terms, the stock purchase would require $1,981, and you would collect $275 for selling the option. Our next trade on the week is going to be a credit spread. We haven't touched this one in a while. I'm looking at the MSCI Brazil ETF, symbol EWZ. E as in Echo, W as in Whiskey, Z as in Zulu. The stock closed on Thursday at $32.43 per share, and I'm looking at selling the April 32 half 33 call spread at 21 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 29 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the April 32 half call at $1.15 and concurrently buying the April 33 call for 94 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain below $32.50 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $32.71 per share. In real terms, you're going to collect $21 per spread that you sell and have $29 at risk. And then our final trade on the week is going to be a debit spread. Looking at Wells Fargo Bank, symbol WFC, W as in Whiskey, F as in Foxtrot, C as in Charlie. The stock ended on Thursday at $39.30 per share. I'm looking at buying the April 38 half 39 call spread for 33 cents, which could give us a maximum gain of 17 cents or 51.52% return in 3 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the April 38 half call for $1.96 and concurrently selling the April 39 call at $1.63. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $39 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $38.83. Now, in real terms, you will pay $33 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $17 per spread over the next 3 weeks. So that's it for this week's show. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for sharing it. Also, I did add a new option trade midweek. It was a debit spread on INO, Inovio Pharmaceuticals. And I will also be adding some new trades. I'll also, just like I did last week, make a video to walk through the new trades for this week and why I'm looking at them, why I think they are worth taking a look at. So that's it for this week's show. I hope you guys have a happy Friday, a good weekend, and as always, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.